This is Focus, our morning talk show. My name's David Inge. Glad to have you with us. Harriet Williamson is the producer for the program, and Kyle Mabry is at the controls this morning. And in just a moment, we'll be talking about books for children. Something, you know, on this program, if there's one thing we like, it's books, writers, and people who make them and people who love them. I mean, we talk all the time with people who are writers, and we like that. I certainly like that. And it's a kind of a unique thing that I think we do, have a lot of writers on the program to talk about their work. And they seem to appreciate having this opportunity to have a real in-depth conversation about their subject, which clearly they're passionate about. You don't spend 10 years working on something if you're not. They really seem to appreciate the exploration of that in some depth, and we're happy to be able to do that in part because this is a public station and we don't have commercials. Well, the reason we don't have commercials is that folks like you, yes, you who are listening right now, also support the station with your dollars, and this is one of those times we say, well, now is the time. If you are a supporter, we want to say thanks. Maybe it's time for you to renew. Well, now would be a good time to do that. And for whatever reason, if you've been a listener for some time and you haven't supported the station, now would be a great time to stand up and be counted as a listener and supporter. And you can do that right now by calling us. It's really easy. It will take just a couple of minutes, and it will be great for the station. And here in the studio with me right now, in fact, is Molly Delaney. She is our educational outreach director. And as I said at the first hour, you know, she's someone you're not going to hear Molly's voice on the air, but what she does and the work that she does with schools is really important to us here at WILL. And as we want to be out there in the community and serving it in whatever way we can. And putting radio shows on is one way that we do it, but being involved in schools is another way.
Well, thank you. And I'm not sure that all of the folks out there listening know what all we do in the schools, and there's a great deal, and a lot with preschool programs, and now with a new service called PBS Learning Media, we're actually in schools, high schools, junior highs, pretty much pre-K through 16. But today, we are talking about one of my favorite topics, which is children's books, and when we were kind of getting ready in the break there, David said, don't hesitate to jump in on the conversation, because he knows I'm pretty passionate about this. And I told him I promised that I would. I think that one of the things that is so compelling about listening to this type of program is that we really are having a wonderful conversation, and you as a listener get to be a part of that conversation. You know, sometimes this is the most intelligent conversation I hear during the day, but it can trigger other conversations. It certainly does at my house. But you get to be a part of it, and how valuable is that to you? If this is something that you value and you like being a part of this conversation, you like being able to call in, or you like just being able to listen to people talking intelligently about topics you care about, we want to hear from you today at 217-244-9455.
Okay, well, thanks very much. Well, I should get now to introducing the guests. We're happy to have here in the studio with us Deborah Stevenson and Kate Queeley Gaynor. And they're both involved with the Center for Children's Books, which is based here at the University of Illinois. Has been for, I don't know how long. How long has the center been here?
Since 1992.
Okay. And they have a publication that's called the Bulletin of the Center for Children's Books. And Deb is the editor, right? And Kate is the assistant editor. And this is a publication that's kind of primarily aimed at teachers, librarians, but it's also there for anybody who's just interested in finding out what's new and exciting in the way of children's literature.
Exactly. We're focused mostly on people who are using children's literature professionally. So it's aimed mostly at teachers and especially librarians who are developing collections. But we also do our annual guidebook to gift books and various other appearances so that anybody who's interested in children's books, we're always happy to talk about children's books with you. And that's why we enjoy having a chance to come on here.
Yeah. And I do especially want to mention that you do your 2011 guidebook to gift books is out. It's available as a free download. If people go to your website, they can get it. And I'm assuming that it lists books according to age and interest. And so tell us, what if you go and get the book list, what are you going to get?
You're going to get quite a long list, but we do that because we know you have lots of people to buy for with lots of different interests. The books are divided primarily by age. We do four different sections, one for picture books, one for early transitional readers, one for middle grades, and the last one is for teen readers, young adult readers. and you will find all types of genres, both fiction and nonfiction, on the list. We try to include in the annotations, you know, keywords. So if you're looking for fantasy, if you're looking for historical fiction, if you're looking for nonfiction, the annotations are, you know, short and sweet and to the point. So I think that you'll be able to find what you're looking for. And it's a really great resource to just print out and bring along with you to the bookstore or to the library when you're going yourself.
Yeah, I suppose now you can even put it on some handheld device and you can take it with you and pull out your smartphone or your pad or whatever. You can be there in the library or be there in the bookstore and say, okay, now what is it that I'm looking for? And you can have it right there.
Absolutely.
Yeah, okay. Well, and if people who are listening who want to suggest a book, maybe you can do that. Maybe there's something that's been a huge hit with the children in your life. You want to tell us about it. That's okay. Or maybe you're looking for a suggestion of a title for a child of a particular age or interest. We can try and do that. We certainly have done that before. I mean, people said, okay, I have this kid and this is what they're into. Could you suggest something? And you have been pretty good at doing that. So we can do that as well. 333-9455, toll free 800-222-9455. So how would you like to start? Where would you like to start?
Well, we can tell you about some of the wonderful books we've been seeing this year.
Yeah, do that.
Great stuff that's sitting out there. We particularly like to bring people's attention to books that they might not otherwise notice, because the big shiny ones that are in front in the bookstore, those are easy to see that are best-selling. But there's one called The Number One Car Spotter by an author named Atanuke, and she is Nigerian-born, now living in Britain. And this is a lively middle-grade story about a kid in an African village, and he is a car spotter because that is what they do there. I am the number one car spotter in my village. Car spotting is the only hobby in this village. Grandmother, Mama, and all the aunties think that no such hobby should be allowed. But who can help spotting cars when the road runs directly past the village? It is what we men do. And it reminds me of Ramona in its energy, in its humor, in its immediacy to the child experience. And kids everywhere, no matter where they're from, will recognize how important it is to get along with your friends and how embarrassing it is when your female relatives make you go and buy girl products if you're a boy. Just how much fun it is to hang out with people you love. And there's a lot of food, and there's a lot of action, and there's some delightful black and white high comedy illustrations that remind me of Ellen Tigreen's For Ramona. Mm-hmm. And it's a really nice, easy reading book for that age from about second grade to third grade, where they're just moving into real stories, but they're not ready for the big serious novels. So that's just a big favorite for me this year.
Okay, great. Do you have one?
I do. My favorite is Breadcrumbs by Anne Ursu, and it's actually a plug for NPR here. It's actually the December pick for the Backseat Book Club, NPR's Backseat Book Club. This is a book for all of those kids who have read C.S. Lewis and all of the Newberries and, you know, have gone through Harry Potter and just find so much joy and enchantment in those pages. There are some wonderful allusions in this book, and they're like tiny little winks to the reader. And it almost, when I was reading it, I felt like I was belonging to a secret club because, you know, of people who just love books. And it was a really wonderful read. It's about a young girl, and her best friend is actually kidnapped by the Winter Queen, the Snow Queen. And she is sort of sets off on this journey through this enchanted forest to find it. It sounds, obviously, it's a bit of fantasy, but there's a lot of realism in it. The first half of the book actually primarily takes place in, you know, quote unquote, the real world. And it deals a lot with that transition from childhood into adolescence, when sometimes the friends that you've had since you were four or five aren't really the people you're going to continue to be friends with, and how difficult that can be, but how necessary that transition is. And it's really just a lovely book filled with great imagery and I think a lot to talk about. And I think it would be a great book for parents to read with their kids as well.
Well, that's great. So do you still hear from a lot of people who are saying that my child has run through Harry Potter and wants to know what next? What can I read that's like that?
My child has run through Harry Potter. My child has run through Twilight. My child has run through Wimpy Kid.
My child has run through everything. Yes. These popular series, I'm sure that once you get to the end of that, you say, "What? Please, can't there be some more of that, whatever it is?"
Seize the moment.
Okay. Well, let's talk with – we have a caller. Why don't we talk with them here in Urbana, line number one. Hello.
Good morning. Thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
First off, I just wanted to say that my daughter is kind of becoming to – the realization that talk radio is interesting. It's been very fun. Like, I listen to WOLL, and she's been like, "Dad, turn that off. It's just people talking." But then she had, like, the cooking show, and she's like, "Wait a minute. This is about stuff I like." Well, anyway, she's making me call in about this now. We do homeschooling, and she's 5 and a half. And definitely girly girl. I mean, loves the fairies and things like that. But she has a deep core of science running through her. And we do homeschooling, and whenever we do science, we always base it on action words, like, you know, we're comparing, we're explaining, we're measuring, all the ways we can kind of come to understand things through observation and extend that and then find ways to experiment. Well, one of the things I found is that a lot of kids' science books sometimes skew a little bit high. She's about 5 and a half, but, you know, I don't want to hold her back. And you know, she follows things like Bill Nye, Dinosaur Train, things like that, and builds them up into her own vocabulary and way of looking at the world. And we have all those little guidebooks that are like the golden books that are like birds or insects or pond life or whatever. And we use those in a lot of our nature hikes and things. My question to you, do you have any suggestions for younger kids on science books?
You've put your finger on a genuine situation that most science books really are aimed to kids older than she is. Most explicit science books, obviously, kids with an interest in zoology. There are lots of animal books, things like that. What you might have a look at is the Let's Read and Find Out Science series, which is a long-established one. I see Molly nodding her head.
Exactly.
She's used that in schools. 'Cause it sounds like you guys are pretty accustomed to text and stuff, and that's a nice early series that has, I think, a good stretch.
Yeah, it's not uncommon for us to have 100 or 100 plus books checked out from the library at a time.
Yeah, you guys are book savvy people. So I think that might be a good place to start. Like any series, you're going to find some titles are going to work better for you than others, and I believe also they have at least at times, in fact, leveled it and have some at different levels than others. But that's also a situation where I think individual interest matters a whole lot. So
right.
I would look through those. They're often, they used to be under, the original author was Franklin Branly, but they have many authors subsequently.
Okay, Let's Read and Find Out series. And then just one thing, because I know she's listening in the other room, and I know she's going to ask, we have been through almost every single one of the Jewel Fairy books. She's not reading them, but I'm reading them to her, and my wife is reading them to her. Do you have anything to suggest beyond those? And then I'll just hang up and listen for that.
Okay.
Okay.
Thank
well,
you very
thanks
much.
For the call.
There are quite a few fairy books out there right now. I'm going to say that most of the ones that I've read recently are probably a bit too old for her. Oh, man.
What about the Marion Dane Bower?
Yes, the Marion Dane Bower, what was it called?
They have different colors, aren't they? There's the blue. Marion Dane Bower, B-A-U-E-R.
Yeah, it's, I think there was the blue. I'm sorry. We're just going to have to give you the author on that one, but she definitely does have some books. And you had mentioned that she's also sort of into the pretty, pretty pink stuff. I know that she might also enjoy, we just had a couple books called, what is it, The Doll Shop Downstairs.
Is that Zeldas?
Yes.
I'm also thinking Princess Posey, maybe.
Princess Posey. That's Stephanie Green, G-R-E-E-N-E. She's right. She'll be right there, actually. And
Princess Posey has usually a pink, slightly sparkling cover and loves to put on her tutu. So she's definitely a girly girl.
So are you thinking of something like the Blue Ghost or the Red Ghost?
Oh, have I bled books together? Because it's not the ghost books.
It's not the ghost books.
Okay.
I just
called up Marion Dane Bauer.
Yeah, who's written about 300 books, so that's
okay, so that's not going to help. Well, yeah. Okay, very well. In that case, probably the thing to do would be hire yourself down to the library and corral one of the children's librarians.
Absolutely.
And say, this is what I'm looking for. And, of course, they will be able to help you, and they'll be thrilled to. Yeah. Okay. Well, hope that helps. Other people who are listening, you can give us a call. 333-9455, toll-free 800-222-9455. Email will-talk@illinois.edu. Okay, guys, you only know about a thousand million titles.
Every year we try to prepare and it, you know.
Okay. Well, and if you have questions for us, you can give us a call, or you have a book to recommend, you can give us a call. Our guests this morning are Deborah Stevenson and Kate Queeley Gaynor, both from the Center for Children's Books at the U of I. Let me see what I like to do here. Here's an email. Someone would like to know a couple things. First of all, could you recommend some good holiday picture books?
I sure can. If you're looking for just sort of generally wintry folk tales, The Mitten by James Aylesworth is an adaptation of, I believe, a Ukrainian folk tale. And I love that story. Basically, a little boy loses his mitten and several of the woodland creatures try to make a home out of it. And eventually, of course, there are too many animals. Kerfuffles ensue. I also enjoy The Red Sled by Lita Judge, and that's actually a new book out this year. And that's about a little boy who goes sledding, and again, woodland creatures happen to see how much fun he is having on his sled and decide to take it out for a nighttime ride. If you're looking for something more suited for Christmas and the religious aspects of it, you might want to check out Catherine Patterson's Light of the World, and The Yankee at the Cedar is also a nice holiday read for Hanukkah, and I believe there's also a book called Hanukkah Moon that's a little bit older. It came out a couple years ago, but that's something that you might want to consider.
I'd also mention the Linda Sue Park, which came out a little late this year. That's Linda Sue Park, who won the Newbery a couple of years ago, with a picture book title called The Third Gift. Mm-hmm. It's a really interesting slant on the Christmas story. It's the story of a young boy in the Middle East who works with his father to gather resin from trees in what makes something called myrrh. And these three men come to get myrrh from him and his father, and they're going to give it to a baby, which he finds very strange. And it's got beautiful period-style illustrations, just a really interesting slant on the story.
Okay. This person has a couple of other questions. I'm going to save them because I want to talk to Molly right now. Molly Delaney is here. She's our Educational Outreach Director, and we are here to talk about books and to have a good time, but we're also here to encourage people to support the station. And I've been doing this program for a long time, and it's a great thing to be able to have conversations about books or whatever and just be able to concentrate on that. But every once in a while, there's really an important message that we want to get across to people, and that is how important they are to the station and not just as listeners.
Yeah, I almost forgot that for a minute because I'm so absorbed in this conversation here. But David is absolutely right. That is why I'm here, and that's what we need to do. We have heard from folks in our listening area today in Champaign, Urbana, Savoy, and Ivesdale. And I'm thinking Savoy and Ivesdale, we need the northern tier of our listening area to represent. So if you are listening and you're from one of those northern areas, you know, maybe Rantoul, maybe Ludlow, or maybe, you know, you want to just have a some kind of competition with Ivesdale. Let's hear from Pasodum this morning. So if you're out there listening and you're enjoying this conversation, we absolutely need to hear from you at 244-9455. Again, this is just one example of the kind of program you'll find on Focus, you know, really looking at issues that are important to not just our community, you know, our community and beyond. And we're so thrilled to be able to take advantage of these wonderful women who are here with us this morning who have this great knowledge base. I do just want to say I had an idea. I have teenagers at my house, and I no longer attempt to pick books for them because they're completely capable of picking them on their own. So they will get gift cards. And if I was thinking, oh, well, if they get a gift card, though, what a great thing to put in there with would be your list that you were talking about from the bulletin. So if you print that out, stick it in with a gift card, and I think you'll probably make a teenager very happy.
I like that idea very much.
I've done that several years now for my younger siblings. My younger brother in particular, a couple years ago, decided he wanted to be a reader, and so he asked me for recommendations, and that was my gift to him, and I think it's a really good idea.
Good.
Excellent. Well, you can go to the website of the Bulletin of the Center for Children's Books, and it's a free download, their recommended guidebook to gift books for 2011, and there's a lot of other interesting stuff there about children's literature, so anybody can... a lot of the people who read the Bulletin are librarians and teachers, but anybody can get good suggestions there for books for kids. So if you're looking for something for your kids or grandkids or nieces and nephews or whatever, that's a great resource in addition to going to the library and going to the librarians and asking them, because of course they would be very, very happy to help you. That's what they do. That's what they do all day long. So you're looking for a book, a special book, just go and ask and say, hey, what do you got? And they will be very happy to help you out. And here on the program, too, we can do that same thing. So we'd be happy to hear from you. We also would be, of course, thrilled if people would call in and make a pledge. And I'm told, by the way, a little earlier, we're having a little trouble with the pledge website. But
right.
It's going now. So if you want to go to WillPledge, willpledge.org, you can pledge that way. Or you can call 244-9455, you know, whichever way you want to do it.
And it is incredibly simple. I said in the last hour, I was there this morning making my pledge. Only took a couple minutes. So if you got a break right now, you're listening, you can multitask. You could do it while you're listening to this program. But we do want to hear from you in one form or another. So either a call at 217-244-9455 or online at willpledge.org.
All right. Back to talking here about children's books with Deborah Stevenson and Kate Queeley Gaynor. Deborah Stevenson is director of the Center for Children's Books. It's based here at the University of Illinois, and they have this publication called The Bulletin of the Center for Children's Books. She's the editor, and Kate is the assistant editor. And if you have a question about children's books, children's literature, you'd like to have a suggestion, give us a call. 333-9455, toll-free 800-222-9455. Well, I said there were a couple of other things that I had here by email that I want to get back to. Someone here would also like to know, are there any books out there that fans of the Wimpy Kid series will enjoy?
Yeah, I can handle that one, too.
Good, very good. Take it away.
Let's see. So I think my favorite Wimpy Kid read-alike for the past couple of years has been Janet Tashjian. I'm not actually sure how you pronounce it, but it's spelled T-A-S-H-J-I-A-N. And she has two books out. The first one is My Life as a Book, and the second one is My Life as a Stunt Boy. And what's very interesting about this is actually her teenage son does the art for these. So there's a lot of nice, sly visual humor going on there. And it's very similar in the Wimpy Kid vein in that it deals with sort of middle school issues. The boy in the first book is sort of dealing with the fact that he has recently been labeled as a reluctant reader. And I think many kids get that label and sometimes don't feel so comfortable with it. And what's nice about it is, you know, kids who are struggling with reading, I think, can relate to him quite a bit. And the kids who, you know, sort of take to books like Ducks in the Water may get some insight into, you know, their counterparts. And it's just a really wonderful story. Very boy oriented, lots of humor in it. The second one is after he sort of tackles his dislike of reading, he is invited to become a stunt boy because he's so good at skateboarding. And that just sounds like a fantasy of so many young kids that I know. And it goes quite well for him. A couple other ones are a book called Wonkenstein. I can't quite remember the author, but It is the tale of a kid with a messy closet, and he throws all of the books that his librarian mother gives him into the closet, eventually creating a creature that is a mashup of Frankenstein and Willy Wonka.
I like the sound of that.
And the final pages lead you to believe that there might be a sequel involving Chewbacca and Harry Potter. So I'm looking forward to that one. And then there's also Charlie Joe Jackson's Guide to Not Reading. And again, that's sort of almost a celebration of kids who are a little bit more reluctant when you hand them a book and kind of see the humor in the situation. So I would go with those three. And okay.
There's also the James Patterson, the title which escapes me, that the kid going through school under video game rules.
Oh, I can't remember.
The author is James Patterson. Yes, the James Patterson. And the deal is that he's going to treat his school year like a video game, and he's going to get points for each act of misbehavior he perpetrates. So it is not necessarily a like the Wimpy Kid about being a role model so much as dealing with the aspects of school that kids find so annoying. No, it's not the one you're finding on top there.
It's not Kill Alex Cross, okay?
Yeah, believe it or not.
It's not really, okay.
While you're looking for that, I will also recommend The Popularity Papers. It has two authors. Again, I'm sorry, the names escape me. I think one is Julie Chang. And I would say that it's sort of like a Wimpy Kid for girls. I know plenty of girls who like Wimpy Kid, but this one is sort of specifically focused on some of the more female issues that come up in 6th, 7th, and 8th grade.
Is there one, a category just for
there's supposed to be.
There's supposed to be. Pardon us, folks.
There's probably too much James Patterson
we're just
to break it down yet.
Yeah, James Patterson. Okay, well, right, anyway, well, you look for James
Patterson. Yeah, because he is doing actually some nice lively books for kids.
All right. Well, I got to do one more here again that's come in by email, and that is someone wants to know, well, is there another hot teen series like Hunger Games on the horizon? Parenthetically, they say I want to buy the movie rights before anybody else catches on.
It's a little circular because if no one else has caught on, we can't tell you that it's going to be the hot teen series. We know it's going to be the hot one because the librarians are all going, oh, I can't wait for the next one.
Rings around you logically.
There was a book out this year called Daughter of Smoke and Bones. It definitely veers towards older teens, I would say.
So does Hunger Games.
So does Hunger Games. And it's sort of... I would say that it would almost meet the in-between of the Twilight sort of romance fans and the Hunger Games action fans. There's quite a bit of both romance and action in this one. And I said, after I had read it, I have been through lots and lots of terrible books about angels falling in love with demons. And I would read every single one again if it meant that I could get the sequel to this one sooner. Because this one was just, it's delightful. It takes place in Prague. There's such a wonderful sense of place. The story that eventually unfolds feels almost mythic in its kind of proportions. So it's quite good. I would say that look for that one.
And tell the title again, because I'm trying to get that cemented in my head, because I'm pretty sure I have some readers at home who need direction toward that.
It's called The Daughter of Smoke and Bone. Okay.
Lainey Taylor, T-A-Y-L-O-R, is the author.
Right. Lauren Kate is also another author whose books... again, they're probably more towards the Twilight romance, but are quite good. And for the sort of more action-oriented Hunger Games, there was a book out this year called... Oh, everyone is reading it. All right, give me a minute.
What happens in it? Which one?
I actually did not read it. Someone else reviewed it, and my husband read it and really liked it, and now I can't remember it. So you're just going to have to give me a minute, and
I will
discuss
put in
something
a plug
else
for one that I think should be the next big thing. and which will horrify a number of parents if it is, and that in itself is delightful. And it's called Rotters.
Oh.
And it is by Daniel Krauss, K-R-A-U-S. It is a quote-unquote realistic novel, contemporarily set, about a boy who has to go and live with his father, a teenaged boy, and discovers that what his father does for a living is rob graves.
I say.
And he enters the strange, rule-ridden, antiquated, honor-bound world of the grave robbers and the society that it involves, and also discovers he has to contend with a rogue grave robber.
I would read that.
It's
That sounds pretty good to me.
Yeah. After lunch, not before.
Yeah, after lunch, oh, okay. And I probably don't want to read again. Divergent was the title that I'm thinking of. And again, Hunger Games fans will love that one and be upset that the sequel isn't coming out for quite some time.
Okay. So. Well, I hope now I got an email from Nick. We wanted to make sure that you talked about where the young adult fantasy genre was going next. Have we exhausted that topic now, or is there anything else to say on that subject?
You know, I think it's going in all sorts of interesting places. We were just talking the other day that it seems to be heading in a bit more, I guess we could say, realistic fashion in dealing with death instead of the fact that we're dealing with zombies or vampires so much. There have been quite a few books that are actually dealing with dead bodies, which is a little interesting. And we're also seeing a lot of ghosts narrating stories, which is kind of a creepy but still fascinating trend.
Yeah, the Lovely Bones legacy. Yeah. You've got people looking back and saying, hey, I'm dead. How did this happen? And figuring out what's going on there. But there's a lot of death, and not necessarily in a creepy way. People are falling in love with various dead creatures, reanimated dead creatures. Yeah. There's a lot of funny zombies. For instance, on the realistic side, one that I really liked is Jen Violi's Putting Makeup on Dead People. And that's a young adult book, teenage book, about a girl who, after her father dies, decides that what she really wants to do is help people who are dealing with that transition, and she decides to become a mortician. And it is not, it's got wit in it, but it's not play for laughs. She's really serious, and it's one of the books that speaks most openly of any literature I've read about how people deal with this really strange and challenging time. And how much we don't want to deal with it and don't like to think about it. And I'm just really charmed by a book that champions somebody who goes, I'm going to handle this for you. This is how I see it as my mission.
See, I think that's what's so fascinating that I don't remember when I was a kid there would have been anything like that. Now, I know that people say, oh, we've gone too far with problem books and books that are supposed to help kids deal with difficult stuff. And But that sounds to me like, first of all, it sounds like a good story. But second, it does deal with some important things, and they are the things that people think about, no matter how old you are. And it seems to me that that's a good thing if there are books that deal with stuff like that, you know, provided that you're ready for that and that's what you want to read.
I can only agree with you heartily. And I think, one, everyone deals with problems, no matter how old you are. And the problems that you face when you're a teenager have included any number of serious problems that we may call adult. Mm-hmm. But even if you're a younger child, you're going to have discord in the family. You're going to have parents coming and going. You're going to have people who are sick and don't get better. Things happen. Mm-hmm. There are, fortunately, rafts of wonderful books on all kinds of subjects. So it's not like that there being a book about learning to be a mortician is squeezing out any number of romances or books about enjoyable road trips. Mm-hmm. So I'm glad that we have room for all of them.
Yeah. Harriet Williamson, our producer, is on the case. She was listening to our conversation, and I think she says is the book, the James Patterson book that we were talking about, that you were talking about, is Middle School, The Worst Years of My Life.
Yes.
Thank you, Harriet.
Right. Thank you, Harriet. Harriet is on the case, as always.
There's an An amateur librarian in training.
We'll give her an honorary.
Yeah, I'm sure there's about as much money in the library line as there is in being a producer for a talk show. So I don't think that's a good
one. We're there for the millions.
Exactly. We're talking here this morning in this part of Focus with Deborah Stevenson and Kate Queeley Gaynor. They're both from the Center for Children's Books based here at the university. And we're talking about children's books. And we'll talk some more after a very short break. This is Focus.
WILL programs are made possible by Eastern Rug Gallery, 1402 South Neal in Champaign. Eastern Rug Gallery offers professional cleaning and repair service for Oriental and other handmade rugs and provides repair and restoration services for fringe and sides, holes, rips, and animal stains.
This is Focus, our morning talk show. I'm David Inge. Glad to have you with us. We're here weekday mornings from 10 until noon, 10 different topics every week. Tomorrow morning, it will be the day of the month that we take questions on money management and personal finance. So if you have questions in that line, you'll want to call in tomorrow. David Sino is our guest. He's clinical professor of finance in the College of Business at the U of I. He's on the show once a month. It's always a Friday, and says a few things about the economy. And then when you have questions about your own investment strategies, you call. Then tomorrow, I think we'll have a fun conversation in the second hour. We will have as our guest Terry Thies. He's a writer, a wine importer, and someone who's gotten a lot of attention for writing about wine. In fact, he won in 2008 the James Beard Foundation Award for Outstanding Wine and Spirits Professional. And he has authored a book that titled Reading Between the Wines. And the thing I like about him is that he's really irreverent, and he, you know, writing and talking about wine can be kind of stuffy, and he's not. Finding ways to describe how things taste are difficult, but he has a very, very interesting approach to talking about wine. So we'll talk about that tomorrow morning on the show. And in fact, I think we have some copies of the gift of the book that we'll be offering as a thank you gift tomorrow morning on the show. So that's tomorrow. We're here every day, Monday through Friday. We have a lot of different things on the show. We talk about international events. We talk about science. We talk about history. We talk about health. We love writers and books. And we do that all for you, commercial-free, almost all through the year. And we like doing it a lot. And you can help us continue to do the show this way by being a supporter of the station. And here to help me talk about that is Molly Delaney. She's our educational outreach director and spends a lot of time in schools helping them carry out their mission. And we're really happy, WILL in Illinois Public Media is really happy to be involved in that effort too.
And we're happy to be able to offer that and to offer great programs like the one that you're listening to today. This is just, you know, this is a very engaging conversation for me because this is something I feel passionately about. But when I was listening to David talk about what else is going to be on the program and I think about what's been on the program in the last week, I think about how often I'm listening and it may not even be a topic that I would pick. That I would be, you know, I would go, oh, I want to listen today. But I just happen to have it on and I always learn something. And it at my house, if my husband says something intelligent, I say, where did you hear that? And I have to say, probably like 75% of the time, he says, I heard it on your station. And probably a large percentage of that is he's heard it on Focus. So if this is the type of program that causes intelligent conversation in your household or makes you think that your husband is really quite a smart guy, we want to hear from you at 217-244-9455.
Yeah, that's Focus, making husbands smarter since 1981. could be a new motto
that's right,
for
it's
us.
It's the new motto, exactly. But we do need to hear from you to keep programs like Focus on the air, to keep that information flowing out to you. And again, that phone call would mean a lot to us. It would go towards supporting our programming in the coming year. And you can also do it at willpledge.org. It's very, very simple.
Hey, thanks very much. We have about 10 minutes or so left in this part of the show. We're talking about children's books. I have a caller here ready to go. 333-9455, toll free, 800-222-9455. And our guests this morning, Deborah Stevenson and Kate Queeley Gaynor. They're both with the Center for Children's Books at the U of I. Let's talk with somebody in Champaign here, line number one. Hello.
Yeah, you were talking about the high incomes. What do they call it? Psychic income. Remember that statement about the if you're not in that high money range, that you know you gain much more. Actually, a testimonial. when my granddaughter was two, the you know, the children's center, there was a list of about 20 books or so, and 25, and they were a big success. Now she's eight, and she's an avid reader, and so that's a testimonial for the kind of work you do. So that's.
Well, that's great. We always love to hear about kids who are developing into lifelong readers.
Yeah, well, she's constantly. So I don't know. I have to get, and in fact, that's, I'm going to download that thing for her. They're over in North Carolina. So to help, because she just continues on and on. So thanks for the program.
All right. Well, thanks. Well, maybe that's good. I'll mention again, if you're looking for suggestions, book suggestions, one thing that you could do is go to the website of the Center for Children's Books or to the Bulletin, and they have a guidebook to gift books for 2011. It's free. It's a free download. Free, ladies and gentlemen, free. And you can download it. And so if you're looking for a suggestion for a child in your life and that will help you figure out, depending on how old they are and you know, what things would be good for them. So do that. Go there.
And it's download. Very easy to find. It's the first thing that you'll see. It's the first thing that pops up on the screen. So you'll be able to download it right away.
Just costs a click.
So would you like to mention any other books in particular? I know that
always.
You have lots and lots. We could do that. We could keep doing this for another hour, I'm sure. Another title or two that you might want to mention?
Sure. One of the things that was really strong this year was books that people might actually recognize from their youth. Some styles of nonfiction. There was a beautiful and excellently adapted book of Greek myths by Anne Turnbull called Greek Myths, which some gorgeous full-page illustrations with creative interpretations. She went back to the original Greek to do the translations. So it might not be the adaptations that some people are used to as far as what happens to Midas and Pandora doesn't open a box. It's actually a jar. I had a great book about George Washington, more or less, called The Many Faces of George Washington, and it's documenting the efforts to create life-size models of George Washington and get his face right at different stages of his life. Mm-hmm. So it was an extensive forensic and artistic effort, and it was restricted by the fact that the Washington estate meant that they could not use any of his actual bones or mortal remains. So they were drawing on sculptures and stuff from his lifetime. But it's a fascinating look at Washington, both metaphorically and literally, in that you also look at the 19-year-old, 6.5-foot-tall redhead and go, he was a hottie. You can see why. And he could dance, and all the women were crazy about him.
He was a great horseman. He was very, very, very handsome, very charismatic.
You can totally see it.
Okay.
So it's nice in that it kind of takes him off of the dollar and puts him into history in a more human way.
Excellent.
We also have two, I think, great nonfiction books for the explorers in your life, and I know many in mine. So Matt Phelan, Phelan, he has it's actually a graphic novel. And it's called Around the World, Three Remarkable Journeys. He looks at three efforts, I believe, in the late 19th century.
The responses to Phileas Fogg's fictional journey.
Right, right. So there is a man trying to make it around the world on a bicycle, a woman trying to make it around the world
As quick as you can. Nellie Bly is actually trying to beat the record.
And then the last story is particularly moving, about sort of a lonely sailor. And his tale is
he's the first
quite emotional.
Solo circumnavigator of the globe, Joshua Slocum.
That's for, I would say, probably grades 5 through 9. And then we have Stuart Ross's Into the Unknown, How Great Explorers Found Their Way by Land, Sea, and Air. And this is a really wonderful gift book because there are lots of foldouts of cutaways of ships and all sorts of fun things. And if you have someone in your life who is into exploring and into the kind of architecture and structure of the ships that are used to explore things, this is the book for them. And again, that's grades probably, I would say, 5 through 9 as well.
It's kind of like David Macaulay on the move.
Excellent. All right. Very good. Well, we're coming down to about maybe about 5-6 minutes left. Someone wants to call. They need to get in right now. 333-9455, toll free, 800-222-9455. Now, I got to have an email here, and this is going to be a challenge for you. See what you can do with this. Someone writes, my college-age ESL students often ask me if I can recommend any young adult fiction that would be interesting to readers of their age, yet easy enough to understand with their developing English skills. They have difficulty with slang, idioms, dialect, and extremely complex or conversational syntax, but they tend to have a good formal vocabulary.
The interesting challenge here is that the books that often fall into the reluctant reader category for that age group are inclined to have slang and colloquialisms in them. However, I'm thinking there are a couple of Canadian imprints that focus on more accessible literature. One of them is Orca. Soundings is the line. So I think that, and they're also a nicely inexpensive paperback series. And I think that they are less inclined to be the sort of colloquial, often sometimes even poetic and lyrical, which is great, but sounds like not necessarily what she's looking for. So I would look for books in the Orca Soundings, and I feel like they've got another series that is even more explicitly adult but might be fairly accessible. But I would start with those. I'm trying to think if there's another author, but I'm looking at you, Kate, and I hope that.
Well, I was actually going to say that the first thing that popped into my mind was a book called You Don't Know About Me, because I felt that that was pretty accessible in its dialogue. It is probably a longer read, but I feel like the subject matter would be more appropriate for that older.
You're also touching on, I think, an interesting way to go for this person, because that one is building on Huckleberry Finn.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And there are novels that build on literature they may already know. There are certainly a lot of ones that have built on folk tales, but there's also a Gordon Corman novel, I think it's called I, Jake, that is a wonderful build on The Great Gatsby. So this is my thought, is that she should look at the Orca Soundings, but also look for books that are riffs on material that they may already have had to read.
Okay. Hope that that helps. We're coming down to a couple of minutes. Something that I wanted to ask you, and I was my thought was touched off by an article, and I think it was in the New York Times not very long ago, about the fact that while there were a lot of adults that were really taking to e-books, were buying e-books for themselves, they weren't buying e-books for their children. And I think that they were buying books for their kids, but they were still buying paper books for their children. And so that makes me wonder a number of things. One is, what's happening with e-books for children, and do you see that as something that's going to continue to take off? Or will, do you think people, as far as children's books are concerned, are still going to want to have the thing, this paper thing to hold on to?
I think that this is where the great range in children's literature makes an answer complicated. In point of fact, ebooks for young adult material are doing quite well. I'm not going to get this figure exactly right, but they were something like 25% of HarperCollins' books for young readers sale in like last year at some point. So teenagers are reading ebooks. I think that there are a couple of stumbling blocks. I make it sound like they need to get there. I'm not convinced they need to get there. But for younger readers, the issues are, one, having them with the equipment on their own, or two, the illustrations. And I think that they have yet, as far as I can see, to find a picture book ebook format that achieves the same things that dealing with a book does. I don't know whether Kate thinks something or Molly's seen anybody doing stuff in schools.
No,
that's interesting.
I would say the same thing. I mean, I know right now the Kindle Fire and there are a couple other ones that came out that do have the ability to have e-picture books on them. But I do think that there's, you know, I don't want to get sentimental or, you know, say that something is lost. But, I mean, you are sort of translating art that may or may not be digital onto another medium, and that can sometimes, I think, muddy it, regardless of how brilliant the screen looks. I do think, though, that ebooks for teenagers are just going to continue to become more and more popular, especially as more and more teenagers get their iPhones and whatnot. And I don't see anything necessarily wrong with that. I mean, you know, at the end of the day, you've read the book. You know,
and I'm just going to jump in and say we have a Kindle at our house, mm-hmm. and it has not replaced real books. It's just an add-on, and it makes it more easy and more accessible and in some ways cooler. But it's not replaced any. My kids are all still reading, so you're not taking a big risk if you're going that direction.
Okay, so I guess that's it. It sounds like you, in a sense you're saying, you know, it doesn't, as long as you're reading, cool. It doesn't really matter what the format is. And in effect, if that device gets somebody excited about reading, double cool. You know, why not?
And it may even allow publishers to take some more risks when they don't, if we have exclusive ebook publication, like Amazon is starting its import and translation imprint, because they don't have to foot the bill for printing, which is incredibly expensive. So there is actually a leading publisher who has now moved to print on demand for children's books, which is an unusual move in children's books. And it's allowing him, he's always been a pioneer in areas like that, to take some risks because he's not going to be saddled with the expense of having printed stuff that doesn't sell.
You know, we're going to have to stop. And I'm, you know, often at the end of the show, I say something like, you know, I'm really sorry we're at the end of the show. Well, most of the time I mean that, and I genuinely mean that tonight, this morning. I'm really sorry that we have to stop, because I'm sure we could go going and we would have fun. And there we'll have to leave it. But I'll say one more time, if you're looking for a recommendation for books, go to the bulletin of the Center for Children's Books. Go online and go to their website, and you can download their 2011 guidebook to gift books, and it's free. And so there'll be some good suggestions there. And occasionally you want to read about what's going on in children's literature, you can take a look at the bulletin. And we have here as our guests Deborah Stevenson and Kate Queeley Gaynor. And Deb is the director of the center and editor of the bulletin, and Kate is the assistant editor. And thanks very much.
Thank you for having us. Mm-hmm.